Come on in my room. Jesus is my doctor, and he writes down all of my prescriptions. He gives me all of my medicine in the prayer room.
Come on now.
Come on in my room. Come on. Come on in my room. Jesus is my doctor, and he writes down all of my prescriptions, and he gives me all of my medicine in my room. Oh, there is joy in my room. joy in my room. Jesus is my doctor, and he writes down all of my prescription, and he gives me all of my medicine in my room. Oh, there is
no more in my room.
Oh,
joy.
Yes, Jesus is
my doctor,
and he
writes down all my scriptures,
and he
gives me all of my medicine
in my room.
Come on,
oh, come on
in my room, come on in my room.
Oh,
Jesus is my doctor,
and he
writes down all.
And he
gives me all of my medicine
in my room. Oh, there is peace in my room. Peace in my room. Jesus is my doctor, and he writes down all of my prescriptions, and he gives me all of my medicine in my room. Jesus is my doctor, writes down all of my prescription, and gives me all of my medicine in my room. Oh, yes,
it's healing in the room.
Oh,
healing in the room.
Oh,
Jesus is my doctor,
and he
writes down all my prescription,
and
let the saints of God say amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, we come in the name of Jesus. We need you today, God. Lord, we realize that many went to sleep last night, but didn't wake up on this side. But Lord, Father God, we pray, Lord, that you would encourage those families that are going through hardship right now. Lord, we encourage those families that wish they could have came to church, but Lord, knew it was too dangerous, God. And Lord, Father God, we pray, Lord, for those that are even sick right now. For we know that sickness is all around us. But Lord, Father God, we pray for those that are here right now that may be disappointed, may be discouraged, may Lord, going through a hard time right now. And this word is for them today, God. Lord, encourage them today, God. Lord, Father God, we thank you for Second Antioch Baptist Church. Lord, we ask that you would bless us on this first Sunday in 2014. Lord, Father God, we just learned how to write 2013. And Lord, Father God, we're in another year. So we realize, Lord, that everyone that starts out with us this year will not be with us, Lord, at the end of this year. So Lord, bless us now, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Encourage us, Lord. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, please, God, let it be acceptable in thy sight. Oh, Lord, our strength and our redeemer, let the people of God say amen, 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 and amen. If you would rest on your feet just quickly, we look at Luke, the fifth chapter, beginning at the first verse through the ninth verse. When you're there, say amen. Amen. Luke chapter 5, verse 1. You'll find these words are words similar as I read from the King James Version. And it said, and it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. He stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering him said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both of the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at his knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God, and we know his word is already blessed. Amen. Do me a favor today. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't never give up. Amen. Never give up. We are in part two of our series on defeating discouragement. And we talked about that last week with regard to how discouragement can creep in and to get you in such a place. And we reminded you of that valuable tool that discouragement is to Satan. Because what will happen oftentimes is that when we face that discouragement, it doesn't need anybody even from the outside. But when discouragement come in, it'll keep you from coming to church. When discouragement will come in, it will mess up your marriage. It will mess up friendships. Isn't that right? It will mess up in your mind, your future hope, if you allow discouragement to do so. So last week, amen, we just spent a little time with you. Isn't that right? And we let you know, you don't get discouraged. And make sure, amen, that if you do get discouraged, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. Amen. Come on, David had to encourage himself. Can I get a witness? But now we look at this and we find a great text. So I need y'all to pray with me about never giving up. Some of y'all didn't give up today. Come on, you slipped and slid down the street. Come on, got in arguments with your relatives in the car because they were telling you how to drive. Y'all ain't praying with me. Come on, somebody. Watch that. Come on, slow down. Speed up. Come on, watch that car over there. Oh, look, somebody's shouting right now. Amen. But look, but through it all, never give up. Come on, because sometimes, amen, you ever get in an argument? Amen. No, a nice discussion, never an argument. Amen. And guess what? You were on your way to church with a right disposition. But saying by the time you got to church, you were an ally for the devil. Isn't that right? But we look at this. Listen to this. Walt Disney said this. He said, the difference in winning and losing is most often not quitting. Come on. Conrad Hilton, you know, the founder of the Hilton Hotels. Come on, listen to what he said. He said, success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. Can I get a witness, somebody? Because see, some of you, you're too afraid to make a mistake. You're too afraid that somebody going to talk about it. You're too afraid that when somebody does try to show you something, that you take it in the wrong way. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Come on. And get discouraged and say, that's it. I quit. I don't want to do it. No, I was just trying to. No, I don't want to hear anymore. And get discouraged real quick. Come on. But Napoleon Hill, a great author, one of the most common causes of failure is the habit of quitting when one is overtaken by temporary defeat. Come on. Somebody stayed home and was discouraged because the Eagles lost last night. Come on. Y'all forgot, amen, that Chip Kelly was in his first year as coach. Come on. You get so caught up with emotions. Amen. They shouldn't even made the playoffs. Can I get a witness? But folks will spend, come on, won't tie, but spend $300, $400, $500 for a ticket sitting in the cold. Can I get a witness? And we were sitting at home saying, I wish they'd stop all these commercials. Can I get a witness? But guess what? They sat through commercials. Anybody ever been to a game? I've been there. And I'd be like, what's going on? Waiting for them to come back. But yet, when the game was over and they kicked the last field goal, everybody was quiet as a mouse and walk out discouraged. Oh, they didn't make it to the next round. Not like the Cowboy fans that lost last week. Amen. Amen. They already were haters. Amen. But then they'll even try to discourage you because they'll say, amen, when after we won the game, they'll say, wait till next week. But the truth be said, there's only going to be one winner at the end of this year. So it's a terrible thing to get all the way to the Super Bowl and then lose. Can I get a witness? But when we look at this, but never giving up, look at your life and think about that. How sometimes you've had negative people in your life. Come on, and they said negative things, and they didn't help you, but they discouraged you. They knew that they could do something to show you. And it's nothing worse than, amen, doing something, and then somebody saying, well, you should have done that from the beginning and wasted your time. But look at the first three verses, and I see this interesting about the focus of Jesus. And I need y'all to pray with me because somebody's discouraged today and they need some help. It says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. The first thing we look at here is the focus of Jesus. When Jesus showed up, he had a focus, and he knew that the way that he could help them is by sharing the word of God. And his focus was on making sure, because when Jesus first started preaching, he was preaching in the synagogues. And when he was preaching in the streets and in the synagogues, once he got to the synagogues and continued preaching, the swell got so big that he could no longer preach in the synagogues. But now he found, because of the press of the people, that he had to find bigger venues. And then as he started to preach, the people would press. They would get closer and closer to the fact that, you know, some people in the back, amen, it may have even muffled out what he was saying because those knew his words were so valuable, amen, that they just got closer and closer because they wanted to receive the blessing of the preached word. So Jesus, amen, had a focus to say, listen, there's a better way. There's got to be a better way to be able to make sure that I'm able to share to the multitudes and not just to a handful of people. But then we see something interesting that talks about it, because the main emphasis of Jesus' ministry on preaching, not healing, amen, though he had compassion on people, his healing ministry was usually authenticated by what he was saying. Because, see, some folks just want to come to church because they want to get healed. But it takes a while to get healed because you're not listening to what God has to say. Sometimes you're discouraged because guess what? God wants to encourage you because you won't listen to the word of God. You want to do it the way you want to do it. All you hear sometimes when the preacher is preaching is blah, blah, blah. Hurry up and get through this. Let's get to the end of the service. Come on, so I can do what I need to do and get my communion and go home. But then you come in the same way and you leave the same way. Back in the day, folks didn't go to the psychologists and psychiatrists. They came to church. And they got what they needed to get because they couldn't afford the $60 to $100 an hour to sit on a couch and have somebody psychoanalyze them. But they came to church to worship. And when they came to worship, somebody sang a song like, "Come on in my room." Yeah, yeah, yeah. Come on. Notice that she didn't sing prescription. She said scription. Oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Come on, somebody. Gives me all my medicine in my room. Can I get a witness? And what we've got to understand here is that, listen, that it talks about the focus, because when we see here that, listen, that focus was that Jesus said, wait a minute, I've got to get out a little further. But notice this, that it says right here, it says, and as he came to the lake of Gennesaret, and then in some part of the Bible, in other translations, amen, and Mark, and the other translation says the sea. Because that was more incompatible with the Old Testament is where they call it the sea, but Jesus called it a lake. So if Jesus want to call it a lake, it's a lake. Come on. But when we look at this, we see something that listen, when we keep our focus, because Lyman Beecher of Boston Church once asked how he was able to accomplish so much in the church. He replied, "Oh, I preach Sundays. And 400 of my members preach every day." Can I get a witness? See, that's when you come to church, you come to get some word. And you come to get that word. And then don't sit on the word. Amen. But when you leave here, you're going to sit at somebody else's dinner table, or some people are going to call you this week, or you're going to be at the barbershop, or come on, or you're going to be somewhere at the dealership waiting for your car to get repaired, or you're going to be at the mall, or you're going to be standing at work or at the bus stop, and you're going to have a minute to just share what thus saith the Lord. Somebody needs to hear it. But look at this. It says that, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out and they were washing their nets. Somebody missed that about the focus. Jesus paid attention and saw what they were doing. Do you understand? When you are going to witness to people and you're going to lead them to Christ, guess what? When you start to fish, you're going to be a fisherman of men. But guess what? While you're witnessing people, amen, there's going to be some mess that you get involved in. When you throw out your net, sometimes you're going to get cussed out. When you throw out your net, you're going to be talked about. Come on, when you throw out your net, amen, it's going to come back with some debris. Amen. It's going to come back with some dirt. Can I get a witness? Because it ain't nothing like somebody in your family or friend you grew up with that will tell you about what you used to do. Amen. Can I get a witness? And they try to tear down what God's word has done. But I said, I remember back when. But you need to give them, amen, with that focus. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, now I'm new. I'm different. I'm not the same as I used to be. You need to have the focus that Jesus had. Have a focus on God's word. You need to learn how to value, because what they saw that these fishermen were what cleaning their nets. But Jesus saw their boats and he said, listen, these boats can be useful to me. So Simon, Peter, let me borrow your boat. Come on, even though that boat, come on, it came from me. You know, you made that boat from a tree that belonged to me. Uh-huh. Come on, come on. That sap that you did, and come on, and all that to help to build that boat, that all came from me. But I'm just going to ask you, amen, but next time I'll tell you. So Peter, can I borrow your boat? Uh-huh. Amen. And then just launch me out a little bit. So what happened, because of the presses being there, many times the mountains were behind them and that lake. And guess what? It turned into an amphitheater, if you will. Said that the further back that he went, that as he spoke, the acoustics were so great. Amen. Now that he could minister without a microphone, amen, to thousands and thousands of people, that they would have focus in hearing the word of God. Do we hear the word of God? Are we really listening? And I know I'm with you. When I was a child and I came to church, man, my favorite spot was in my mama's lap. sleep. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Oh my goodness. And if I could be tired back then, come on, you remember back then. I ain't gonna tell my age, but back then when 12 midnight came and they played the national anthem with the flag going across the TV, and then all of a sudden, amen, it went. Can I get a witness? If I could be tired back then, can you imagine now there's 600 channels coming, nothing on. Can I get a witness? You flipping from channel to channel and staying up all night watching absolutely nothing. But listen, but you can't go to sleep. But ain't it amazing how quickly sleep comes when 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning come? Amen. Isn't it crazy how when it's time to go to church, all of a sudden my stomach hurt. Oh, my head hurt. Look, it didn't hurt at 1 o'clock in the morning. But the focus of Jesus. The second thing is the frustration of the discouraged. See, the problem with folks that get discouraged is some of you get frustrated too quick. Come on, you ever see people like that? And see, Satan loves to see folks that get frustrated real quick. You got everything right in front of you. And some of us, we blow it. Can I get a witness? Everything is laid out for us. All we got to do is do what God says. Can I get a witness? And we are hooked up. We taken care of. Come on. Everything is laid out. Come on. The job is there. The scholarship is there. Come on. The money is there. The first wife was there. Oh, it's quiet. But we just got to make it hard on ourselves. Listen to what it says, verse 4. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night. Oh, come on, somebody. You ever had frustration like that?
Amen.
Come on, you've been working and you've been working. Come on, and they're not giving you a raise. Come on, somebody, they're not taking care of you. They don't appreciate what you're doing. Come on, matter of fact, you know, right when before you were getting ready to get to a bonus time, they laid you off. Come on. Hey, come on, and look, you've been doing things, and you've been witnessing, you've been working in the church, and you look around, and it seems like less and less people are coming to church. Come on, and you're wondering, God, am I doing something wrong? And come on, and you've been just toiling, and you've been working, and you've been doing everything. You're teaching your Sunday school class, and everybody in your class dying off, or it's less people that stop coming. Amen. You wonder, should I really prepare this lesson? Because I prepared this lesson, and look, I spent 3-4 days for it, and then God come and nobody shows up. Can I get a witness? I've toiled all night. I know what I'm doing. I toiled all night. I work. This is my profession. I've been toiling. It is nothing worse than, listen, being able to be skilled to do something and folks don't come in the door to buy the best product that they can get. Listen to what it says. It says, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Listen to this frustration of the discouraged. It is essential to note at thy word. Listen to what it says. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Come on. Do you hear this frustration? It is essential at thy word and having done this, any deviation from the Lord's utterance in word or in action is fatal to success. If you try to add to his word, you will fail. Stop trying to speak for Jesus by saying, if he were on earth today, he would never rebuke me of my sins. Nothing saves souls except the word. And the word unchanged in any way. Can I get a witness? The divine and saving power lies in that word and nothing else. We try to do everything else but the word. Sometimes you go to some churches, they got the best choir and the worst word. They'll have praise dancers. Come on, they'll have a period of shouting. Come on, for the next 2 minutes, I just want y'all to have a crazy praise. You done messed up your hair. You done sweat your suit out. You done sang to your horse. Amen. And then when it's time for the word. The word. We become frustrated when we take our eyes off God and focus more on our problems. Somebody know what I'm talking about. I know he did it before, but I don't think he can handle this problem right now. I've been working on it. I've been trying to get it together. I almost had it. But guess what? Now it's messed up again. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Stop trying to fix people. Stop trying to make them what you want them to be. How about saying, Lord, fix me. And Lord, and when you fix me, guess what? God will get them together. Can I get a witness? If he saved others, he can save them. Can I get a witness? He can change you. He can work it out. Peter's obedience exemplary. A fisherman might trust a master's teaching on religious matters, but need not do so in his own field of expertise. Fishing. Come on, y'all know how y'all do. Pastor Knox said, yeah, the Lord told me to do that. Well, Pastor Knox, I've been doing this for some time now. And that's just not going to work. You know these people, and they not going to do nothing. And, you know, you're going to just waste your time, and it's not going to happen, and everything else like this. And I'll be like, God said it's going to happen. Pastor Knox, I'm just trying to tell you as a professional, I've been working in this field for 25 years, and come on, ain't no way, amen, you're going to come down here, down in this basement, and come on, take out that hardwood floor and fix up down here, come on, and add some lights in here, and come on, and do all this stuff down here, and have sound down here, have a computer lab down here, and all these other things, and these folks don't give like that. Come on. We toiled all night, he says, and we caught nothing. Come on. And yet, he says, the fishermen had labored with a dragnet at night, which had have caught them many more fish than Jesus' instruction. Because this is what we do. This is how we line our pockets. You know, this boat, it paid for by catching fish, Jesus. I know what I'm doing. But clearly, Jesus was out of his league when he asked Peter to go fishing in the middle of the day in the deep water, where Peter knew that it wasn't a success to find any of this. Do you know that the best fishing is at night and early in the morning? Right. You done preached. It was a long sermon, Jesus. You said, I'm almost done four times, Jesus. And now it's the middle of the day, and now not only that, but now you want me to take my nets and launch out into the deep. I did this already. Hello. Last night, I'm tired. Do you hear the discouragement here? But I'm going to show Jesus. I'm going to show him because I'm a professional. Jesus, that what you want me to do? We going out here in the deep, and I'm going to throw this net. And I can show you Jesus better than I can tell you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How about having the same attitude? Jesus, I've been trying it my way. I've been doing it. I'm frustrated. But guess what? God, I'm so frustrated. Everybody get to the point where you're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Come on, come on. The same stuff over and over again. Come on, the same loop, the same issues, the same problems, the same disappointments, the same, look, you start out one way, but you end up right back where you started from. Anybody tired of doing that now? Yeah. Come on, how about changing this time and listening to what God's word says instead of, you know, Pookie? Come on, Pookie ain't got 10 cents in the bank and gonna tell you how to invest your money. Wow. Shaniqua, she gonna tell you how to get a man, and she ain't had a man in 10 years. Aren't you tired of listening to folks that don't know what they're talking about? Come on. Amen. They start you all over again. Come on. You were locked up, amen, for drugs, and now you get out, and the first thing the guy on the street see you, the first thing he'll do is slip something in your head. I know you don't have no money, but here, come on. You pay me back later. Start the same thing over again. You know, the problem with most drug dealers on the corner is this. They always think, amen, that they smarter than the guy that got arrested before them. It ain't happening to me, man. I got to hustle. I'm going to be like Jay-Z, man. Jay-Z started out like that, man. I'm going to be selling drugs like him. Then I'm going to get my capital. Then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do all of that. Look, you better watch some of them guys. Just because you sold one stick of marijuana don't make you a drug dealer. Can I get a witness? You got gangsters like Benny Siegel, amen, that we talk about when he was out in the street. But guess what? Watch Benny Siegel. When Benny Siegel went to court, amen, Benny Siegel had a three-piece suit on with a hat, with a rimmed hat. Can I get a witness? And looking clean when he went to court. And you know what he told the lawyers to tell them? Man, this is just my rep. This is my gig. I don't really believe in being a gangster. And then you become frustrated. Why? Because you're trying to emulate something that is a lie. And you're trying to make it when somewhere they've already run their hustle. And now you're trying to do that and get to the grind and do that. And you're wondering why it's not working. You done lived your life and you seem like, God, when is it for me? I've been helping everybody else. Now I'm a senior citizen and I'm still waiting for my ship to come in. Stop going to the airport. Hello? You do know the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Amen. You listen to people. Amen. Tell you, don't do this in the church. Don't do that in the church. Don't do this. And listen, and instead of reading the Bible for yourself, listen to the dumb stuff talking about we were back in grace back in this time, but now we're over here. Come on, now we're under grace, but we were under the law before. Now we're in grace here, so we don't have to do what the law said back here, all these other things. Listen, when you are saved and Jesus come into your heart, you don't have to worry about the law, because guess what? When you love him so much, you've already covered all of that. Can I amen? You ain't sinning no more. Come on, you ain't lying. You ain't cheating, committing adultery. Come on, you ain't doing all of that stuff, because when you want to please Jesus, you already straight on that stuff. It don't mean now don't do none of that. Oh, all right, come on, somebody. Stop doing what you used to do in the Old Testament. That's the problem. The reason why churches are busted and disgusted and people are frustrated when they come to church, because you got idiots and fools, amen, that come talking about, listen, don't support, amen, but God is still going to bless. That's good. That don't even make sense in family court. You don't support your children, they'll take you to family court and they'll make you take care of your responsibility. Can I get a witness? The federal government get their money right off the top. And if you do something that you're not supposed to, you take a loan out and do something, and guess what? You file that income tax return and see if it come to you. The frustration. We've toiled all night and didn't catch anything. Jesus here gives a lesson of what to do when we are no longer successful at getting results, doing the things that were once resulted in abundance. Oh, here we go. We built this church on chicken dinners, didn't we? Tell the truth. Amen. But that's when you started. Ministry is bigger now. You got more people. You got things that, and guess what? That dumpster costs a whole lot of chickens now. That gas bill, we kill a whole lot of chickens. We ain't got enough chickens to kill to pay the gas bill. But back in the day, we made it on chicken dinners. And God blessed us with that. Can I get a witness? Back in the day, we used to have the mentality that it was the ministry's job to take care of the church. Can I get a witness? Oh, it's tight, but it's right. That's why I'm preaching this on the first Sunday in 2014. So then guess what? You won't tithe, but guess what? You were given more than a tithe when you were doing it the old way. You want five ministries, and everyone wants $3 from you. Oh, it's quiet in here. Per month. And you sitting there, come on, the next meeting, you got your $3? Come on. That's why you couldn't get nothing to the church, because all your ministries had it. Can I get a witness? When it was time to fry chicken, now you done stayed up for 8 hours. Come on and make a potato salad. Y'all know potato salad take a long time. Can I get a witness? Come on, soaking some greens and doing stuff. And man, come on, taking 7 and 8 hours to get something. Amen. And then having a sale and bring in $1,000 and pat each other on the back. Great job. Oh, praise God, we did it. When all you had to do was have one offering. And in 10 minutes, you could have still been home with your family. You could have still done the things that you needed to do. Amen. And yet, you can still be able to have the blessings that God would have it for you. Frustration.
We would be all right if we could just open that chicken dinners again. We'd be all right if you just allow us to pay our dues instead of tithes and offerings. Here we go. As we close, I knew it was going to be quiet, Jesus. I told you.
1 Peter says this, 4, verse 12 and 13. He said, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." If you ain't never went through nothing, you don't have a celebration when you do get something. But when folks said you would never be anything, come on, I've been there. Never be anything, come on. But guess what? When you become something, all of a sudden folks come up and stand up in church and say, "Yeah, I'm your daddy." Hello? You left at 3. I'm 43 now at the time. Come on, 34, whatever it was. And all of a sudden, now you got to, I can't make this up. Some of y'all at Second Antioch was there. Come on. And what we've got to understand is, guess what? That God says, listen, even when they walk out, even when you go through those hardships, that God will fill that void. Can I get a witness? Coming into those situations when all of a sudden, when guess what? That God gives me a woman that loves me. Can I get a witness? That listen, in your mind, you start to have doubts because you said, if daddy walked out, will I do the same thing? Can I get a witness? Will I be a good father? Come on, will I be a good role model? But guess what? The devil is a liar. Can I get a witness? I'm not going to get frustrated over the fact that, listen, that somebody walked out. Sometimes the best thing that can happen to some of us is some folks to walk out, to abandon us, to leave us out there. That guess what? That other people will come in and be a blessing to you. That you go to church and you get godly men that pray for you and tell you what to do. Be a man. Pull your pants up. Can I get a witness? Put a shirt and a tie on. Put a suit on. Look like somebody respectable. The problem is today that we're frustrated because once we used to be respected when we dress like we were responsible, but now we dress like we don't want to be respected and wonder why people don't respect us. Now that don't mean that you got to wear a suit and tie all the time, because everybody don't have a suit and tie job. Can I get a witness? But even if you don't have a suit and tie job, be respectful. Can I get a witness? You get frustrated when you get Mr. Man over here coming from the main line. He come with a clean truck and a clean Dickies and shirt and boots and everything. And here you come. Come on, they don't even know if your truck can make it down the block. Can I get a witness? You come in there and stuff is all messed up. Amen. You wearing gear. Amen. And all of a sudden you wearing a jacket and I ain't getting on nobody, but I'm just busting on somebody from back in the day. You got a shirt on that says your name is Joe and your name is Fred. They know what it is. Just keep being quiet. We look at this and we got to understand, because they've been calling you the whole time. Joe, are you still working? Why you keep calling me Joe? Because your shirt says Joe. Well, I got this on sale 50% off, so hey, I got to wear what I got to wear. The last point, and I'm done, is the future when defeating discouragement. And I said this last week, and I'm going to say it again. Do you know why Satan is always messing with you? Because he sees your future. And he knows that if you're obedient to God, you have a bright future.
that you have great things that you can do. You know, when I was a child and I used to be at Drew School and we had career day, I never saw anybody stand up and say, I want to be a drug dealer. And I want to go to jail. Can I get a witness? Come on. I want to be a bank robber. Come on. When they talk about that guy, that cat that keep burglarizing everybody, I want to be that guy on the news. I never saw that on career day. Can I get a witness? But God has a future for you. A future to excel. He has an expected end for you, Jeremiah says, of success if you do what he tells you to do. Listen to this. He said, nevertheless, I'll throw down the nets. But look what happens when you do what God tells you to do, even when you don't understand, even when you're frustrated, even when you're heartbroken. Look at it says right here, verse 6. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish and their net brake. Can I get a witness? God will do exceedingly and abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Have you ever lived and done things the right way with God and all of a sudden he just let your cup runneth over? Can I get a witness? Anybody know what cup running over is? Can I get a witness that you were doing certain things and all of a sudden God just come by and he just keep blessing you and blessing you and blessing you? Come on, you had one job and say, maybe I got to put this other job on the side for right now because I got three other jobs ahead of that job. Amen. Your phone keep blowing up. Can I get a witness? Checks keep coming in the mail. Amen. To the point, I remember when I was in college and I was working and guess what? I was getting commission checks almost a month after I had stopped working. God can do it. It said, when they had done this, the great multitude of fish and their net break, and they beckoned unto their partners, and they were on the other ship, that they should come and help. Listen, Peter said, I'm going to show you it ain't going to work. Now he's like, help, SOS, bring another boat out here. We've caught so much fish that the ship is sinking, and I need some help because it's so great. And they came and filled both ships, and they began to sink. This is why we know that Peter's attitude wasn't right. Because it says here, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. See, just because you don't say it and just because you're not disrespectful, your actions will show whether or not you're going to be obedient. Amen. Whether you're going to be doing what God has. Well, I ain't tell Pastor Knock I'm not with the program. No, but I can tell when you're not with the program, when you don't come and you don't support and you don't do what God's word says, and then you're sitting there frustrated and you're wondering why God is doing the things he's doing to you. Listen, you know, when you don't tithe, God will get it another way. Can I get a witness? Hello, somebody. You'll get a disrespectful child. And then he get locked up in jail and you'll give that $300 you should have given to the church, you'll give it to the bondsman or the attorney. Can I get, oh, y'all ain't praying with me. Can I get a witness? You know, all of those things, you know, when you're not doing what you're supposed to do and when God looks at you and sees the things and you're saying, well, I'm getting over. Nobody gets over. It says here, he fell down and said, oh, Lord, for he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes they had taken in. And that's the reason why you're frustrated too, and I'm done. It's because the problem is when you don't believe God, then you go and call everybody else and talk about God or the things that God has said. It ain't going to work. I told you. So therefore, if you ain't going to do it, I'm not going to do it either. All right, we're going to show them because that ain't in God's will. But if it's in God's word, look, you're going to be astonished just like the rest of them. Notice it wasn't just Peter who was astonished. But it was a rest because you know what? They said, well, Jesus might be a great fool, a preacher, but he a fool when it comes to fishing. He ain't never seen it done this way before. That's what I want to see God say in 2 Antioch. We ain't never seen it this way before. Because guess what? We came on one accord. We stopped thinking with our own heads and we did what God's word said. We were obedient. Everybody, not just a few people. We did the best that we could with what we have and see what God has. God, you don't understand all I have much. God can make little and make it much. He can change your future around. It says, he said, go out into the deep and let down your nets and you will catch many fish. Amen. They caught so many fish that the boat nearly sunk. And from now on, he said, you'll be fishers of men or fishers of people. God will use an illustration to let you know that, listen, the reason why I'm blessing you right now, because I got something greater for you. Come on, your greater is coming. Did you know that? That God is not just messing around. He's not just doing the things in your life just for happenstance. You know, if you read your word of God, it says in Revelation that God made us for his pleasure. Mm-hmm. Not for our pleasure. We think that we're here on earth, that listen, we can live it up and do whatever we want to. But here's the thing, and I'm close. It says, when the Lord gives, he is never stingy. He is, his generosity is overwhelming. Has God ever overwhelmed you? Never give up. Peter's life is an example of how to defeat discouragement. Mark 8:29 said, and when he said unto them, but who should you say that I am? Everybody got quiet except Peter. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can I get a witness? Peter never gave up. Can I get a witness? Look at Peter's life. Later on, Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, this night before the cock crow three times, you're going to deny me. Peter said, Jesus, I got your back. You better watch folks that say they got your back. I will ride and die with you, Jesus. I'm with you. No matter what happens, I am there. Matter of fact, amen, the Bible says that Peter was warming his hands by the fires on a night like today. Can I get a witness? And he was watching all that was being done to Jesus. But guess what? He said, I don't know the man. They said, wait a minute. What did you just say? He said, I said, I don't know the man. They said, I thought I heard it. You one of them guys that was with him. Matter of fact, you caught Malchus. You cut off Malchus' ear. I remember you. He said, bleepity bleep bleep. I don't know the man. But the good news is, after he did what God would have him to do, look how his life changed and God knew his future. Because he said, Peter, I have prayed for you. The devil wanted to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you. And listen to what Acts chapter 2 says in verse 41, and we're done. It said, and they were gladly received the word, were baptized. No, listen to this, verse 38. It said, then Peter said unto them, listen, after the resurrected Christ, Peter decided he was going to go preaching. Mm-hmm. After God had changed his heart and put him on fire, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that were far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then verse 41 said, and they that were gladly received his word were baptized, and the same were added unto them 3,000 souls. Now, I know I think I can preach. I know that Pastor Hargrove can preach. Come on, somebody. But guess what? I ain't never preached that 3,000 people just came down. Come on. Amen, somebody. Amen. But listen to this. Verse 5 of Acts 5, verse 15 said, inasmuch as they brought forth the sick into the streets. Now, that's when you know you a bad boy. And they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by may overshadow some of them. Isn't that interesting? That God knew his future. Peter stopped being frustrated. Peter had foot and mouth disease, but God got him over that disease. He healed him. He took care of him. But when we look at it and we see it, don't get caught up in your frustration. Don't give up. Jeremiah didn't give up. Cried a little bit, but he didn't give up. Job didn't give up. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Naked came I into the world. Naked shall I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can I get a witness? When we look at it, Paul didn't give up. Can you imagine that? Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was beaten. Paul was put in prison. Paul was talked about. Paul was threatened. Paul was laid down, lowered down a wall, but he never gave up. And some of us give up because we heard somebody in church say something nasty about our clothes. What's that on your clothes? Why are you looking at me so hard? Can I get a witness? Some of y'all grew up down the bottom. Y'all know how to speak crazy too. But don't let that discourage you. Because see, I've learned and I'm done is this, that most of the time y'all don't understand this. People looking at you. And I used to believe that all I had to do was come to church, love everybody, be respectful, read my word, come to Bible study, do the things that God told me to do, give like God would, and everybody would love me. But I'm here to tell you, don't be discouraged. One day, the only one that counts, you do know who the one who counts. The one who came down 42 generations and healed the sick and raised the dead. The one that the demons were afraid of. You do know who that is. The one that was able to teach with authority instead of saying Nicodemus said this or somebody else, you know, Gamaliel said this. Amen. No, that God says, my daddy says this. Can I get a witness? Teaching with authority. That one day every knee will bow. Every tongue is going to confess. Will you be there when he asks you? Why should I let you into my kingdom? Will you be there when he reminds you, look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet. I loved you so much that those nails didn't hang me on the cross. Those nails didn't keep me there, but it was love. I saw your sins, past, present, and future, and I didn't get frustrated. I didn't give up. So you never, never, ever give up. Let us rest on our feet today. Today.